Today's date is March 29th, 2025, last Sabbath of the month. And we are in Acts chapter 20. And we're going to be picking it up this week at verse 35. And a little bit of an announcement. In 2 weeks, on the 12th of April, we're going to have communion, the Lord's Supper. And so we like to let everybody know at least a week or two in advance. Kind of like our little mini Day of Atonement, if you will. So that you can make everything, you know, like if you have aught against any brother or sister, or if they have aught against you, you might want to mend those fences before going to the, well, if they have aught against you, that's on them. So, but yeah, communion in 2 weeks. All right, so verse 35. Thank you again, Brother Anthony. And thank you again, all the sisters, that both sisters that were doing the children's story, and all the little kids that were participating. And the big kids. Yeah, there's some big kids in there. You know, people call them adults. So, all right, most people do anyway. All right, so verse 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's amazing. Have you ever noticed that, though? Because I've noticed it. Well, I'm sure we all have. Whenever you give something to someone that they need, something they need, it really does bless your heart. It's just neat the way it works like that. This truth is just, it gets everywhere. It's just amazing. I mean, when Paul says here, it is more blessed to give than, well, Jesus actually said it is more blessed to give than to receive. He's just echoing. I mean, in so doing, the Lord often returns the giving twofold in spiritual blessings, or even in financial blessings, but that's not why we do it. You know, because, and we have to remember that too. That's why I like to harp on it sometimes, because we don't want to end up like so many people in this world where they worship the dollar. And it's all about what mankind can do for mankind. It has nothing to do with what the Lord's doing for them. The obedient child of God who loves their Lord, the blessings that come from on high are far more valuable than, you know, gold or silver. That which the Lord gives brings perfect peace and contentment. You know, this is something that the world just can't supply or even give a fraction of it. And for, everything that the world has to offer is fleeting because everything's going to end. This is what gets me about the billionaires and trillionaires, or even the millionaires that rely so heavily upon their riches. They're no different than the beast in the field. They're going to die too. Unless, of course, they repent and be part of the, you know, 144,000, but they're going to have to do that rather quickly because there's not a lot of time left to get ready for that. I mean, it's pretty obvious what Jesus said in Matthew. What is it? Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, wherein moth and rust doth corrupt, and wherein thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You know, and this is something that amazed me too, because I remember growing up, the scuttlebutt was with the adults. We're always looking for an angle to make a couple of bucks. You know, it is always about that. It always, you know, and then when I was before I was a Christian, that's what I was doing. I was always looking for angles to try to make a buck. And And it got me in trouble sometimes, too, obviously. But once I found Christ, money literally becomes like monopoly money. It's like, yeah, if you want it here. It's like, it's not going to save me. You know, sure, it's nice to be able to pay the bills, but that's one of the beauties, too, that I saw, you know, growing up, because, I mean, my dad made enough money, but he had 11 kids, and so he made more money than most of the people in the neighborhood, but with all those kids, you know, you never notice it. But that's okay. He had a nice big family, just like we did. We have 8 kids. It's when you think about how, because I remember doing everything I could to try to make a buck, and it wasn't until I found Christ that wasn't so important anymore. He just led me into areas where I needed to be, to where, yeah, I could pay my bills, but I wasn't going to get rich doing so, even to this day. But when you help someone, because I remember, there were times I needed help, and I remember looking back and thinking about how much of a blessing it was, even if it was just $20. You know, because sometimes, you know, there were times that we didn't even have 2 nickels to rub together, and we had no food in the fridge. And all of a sudden, the Lord just supplied. Someone would do something. He would send somebody. It truly is better to give than to receive. And some of these people did it anonymously. I found an envelope one time taped to my steering wheel with cash in it. Now, granted, it was, you know, a bunch of the, I thought it was sweet that they did it, because I didn't realize the dangers of Christmas yet, but that's why they did it. They thought, well, we needed a bunch of gifts for the kids, and this is, well, yeah, we only get one kid gift for each kid because we got so many kids. But it's better to have food in our belly than it is to have toys in their toy box, because we all know what happens when you give a kid a toy. They stop playing with it after a while, and they start playing with the box. So, anyway, I got some stuff here from Testimonies Volume 3 I'd like to share. See if I can get it to fit in there. Try doing 3 paragraphs here. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 382, paragraph 1, 2, 3. It says, the principle of the cross brings all who believe under heavy obligations to deny self, to impart light to others, and to give of their means to extend the light. Did you catch that? You know, that's where the tithing and the love offerings come in. So that we can go forth and spread the word. And this is what I love about countries like the Philippines. You know, because we're not millionaires here. But if we send $100 to the Philippines, that'll help a family for a whole month. And Uganda, even more so. And so we can actually, and now look what's happening. The light is extending in the Philippines, and the people are just open to it. The camp meeting is going to be amazing this year in the Philippines. It's going to be in May, if I remember correctly. Or is it mid-April or something? I don't know. But it's going to happen soon. And there's a lot of people coming. But we can extend the light even. See, that's something I've always noticed as well. For those of us that can't hit the street, can't go door to door, but you have a couple of bucks, you can help someone who can go door to door. And if they're not ordained, you can give them love offerings to help them. You can't tithe to them because that's not how it works. But there's a lot of work that needs to get done, especially here in the States. And praise God that we're able to get these books to the people that want them. We're not just handing them out willy-nilly and hoping somebody. No, people are emailing on a regular basis. Just got some more this today wanting the books, the Arlac book. Well, for those of you that are new, Arlac, R-L-A-C, Religious Laws Are Coming. Anyway, it goes on to say, if they are in connection with heaven, they will be engaged in the work in harmony with the angels. The principle of worldlings is to get all they can of the perishable things of this life. I like the way she puts it. It's like grabbing at straw, grabbing at ropes of sand. It's just silly. You know, storing up all these, like buying land, or not land, but, you know, well, even there, some people go crazy with that. But a lot of people buy multiple homes. Why? Does it make sense? She says selfish love of gain is the ruling principle in their lives. But the purest joy is not found in riches, nor where covetousness is always craving, but where contentment reigns, and where self-sacrificing love is the ruling principle. There are thousands who are passing their lives in indulgence and whose hearts are filled with repining. They are victims of selfishness and discontent in the vain effort to satisfy their minds and with indulgence. But unhappiness is stamped upon their very countenances, and behind them is a desert, because their course is not fruitful in good works. Seriously, you can't take anything to heaven anyway. Like Job said, naked I was born, naked I go out. You can't bring anything into the world when you're born other than yourself, and you can't take anything with you other than yourself when you die. And it's not even up to you. Well, it is kind of up to you, because if you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, you'll wake up again. Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing, too. Good point, Brother Dwayne. You know, the, like, if we need, like, as I'm always praying for certain things for the church family, it'd be nice to have our own campground. You know, that's what I'm praying for now. And I've been praying for years. It's just like when I was praying, I think, for 4 years for a motorhome, and then all of a sudden the Lord gave us a motorhome. It took like 3 or 4 years. And that's fine. Timing is Him. It's up to Him. It's not up to me. And look at all the dozens of people we've baptized ever since, because that was the main reason I wanted to get it, so we can have the camp meetings and baptize people in the proper way, not the way they're doing it out there where they're baptizing 3, 4, 5,000 people at a time into Sunday-keeping churches and teaching all sorts of falderal. We all know what's in these churches. That's why we left them. We have come out of her, my people, so that we can't be partakers of their sins and the plagues. She goes on to say that in proportion as the love of Christ fills our hearts and controls our lives, covetousness, selfishness, and love of ease will be overcome, and it will be our pleasure to do the will of Christ, whose servants we claim to be. Our happiness will then be proportionate to our unselfish works, prompted by the love of Christ. Let me stick a couple of more in here. Probably going to have to use, let me just use Notepad to make it easier for me on my side. I just stick it in Notepad and then it's easier to get it into the, I know it's just weird the way I do things, but hey, if it works, don't fix it. Okay, here we go. Amen, Brother Eli. That's, you know, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7, amen. Okay, verses 4 and 5 of Testimonies, Volume 3, page 382 again. It says, divine wisdom, what has appointed in the plan of salvation the law of action and reaction, making the work of beneficence in all its branches twice blessed. And this is why I said it's twofold. When you help someone, the Lord will bless you twofold. If you help them spiritually, financially, physically, however, He's going to bless you too. But don't do it for that. Do it because they need help. But again, I'm preaching to the choir here, so you know that. It goes on to say that he that gives to the needy blesses others and is blessed himself in a still greater degree. God could have reached his object in saving sinners without the aid of man, but he knew that man could not be happy without acting a part in the great work in which he would be cultivating self-denial and benevolence. And we're going to really understand that the day we put our crowns at the feet of Jesus, you know, very soon, when he comes home, when he comes and takes us home. It says that man might not lose the blessed results of benevolence. Our Redeemer formed the plan of enlisting him as his co-worker. Remember I said that we're in the middle of a, you know, job interview right now? We're going to be co-workers with Christ or ambassadors for Christ for all eternity. He's testing us now to see if we're going to do it. And you know, like when you look at Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't just hold back their finances. They held back their faith and their ability to share their faith. Because when you do sin like that, you won't have the utterance. The Lord's not going to give it on to those that disobey him. And so they're not going to be worthy receptacles of his will. They're not going to be able to go forth and declare the truth to others and be a blessing anyway. So it was proper that they should have died in the doorway like they both did. But it's no different than today. There's people out there that need to hear the truth. And there's those of us that can help them hear the truth. But our means are limited too, because the Lord's not going to just all of a sudden open up the sky and dump a bunch of gold in our homes. But he does give it to his people. And he tells them that 10% of it, he gave them more than they needed to see what they're going to do with that 10%. Some people think, no, wait a second, I'm making an hourly rate. You know, well, yeah, who do you think set up the hourly rate for you? Either we trust the Lord to be in control of every aspect of our lives or we don't. She says, by a chain of circumstances which would call forth his charities, he bestows upon man the best means of cultivating benevolence and keeps him habitually giving to help the poor and to advance his cause. So both cases are represented here. You give to the poor with the love offerings, because that's what we do. And you advance his cause with the tithing, and that's what we do. He sends his poor as the representatives of himself. I mean, check that out. This is what many Christians keep missing. I mean, check out Matthew. Where is it here? Let me see. Matthew 7. Yeah. Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Matthew 7. That's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll get back to this verse in about 2 years. Because I'm working on the Sermon on the Mount series. But Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, is Jesus, our Lord, Savior, and King, speaking. He says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that might be a little confusing to some people. How are they casting out demons, and how are they prophesying and doing these wonderful works, and yet still going to hell in a handbasket? The Lord uses the wicked as well as the just. You know, we can be going out there and understanding all prophecies, but still be a clanging cymbal. He's going to use us if he can use us. And while at the same time he's using us, it causes us to realize he's using us and possibly repent. There's all sorts of different ways that the Lord works on, because every mind is different, just like every snowflake is different, and or fingerprint or toe print or even palm print. All sorts of wrinkles on the human body are totally different on every other body. And there's trillions of humans in the universe. I'm not going to be conceited and say there's just billions. Because that's all that we have on this one planet. Have you ever gone in the prayer? Just all of a sudden just thinking about how minuscule you are? When you look at the whole picture and you think of, I was just talking to a friend about this earlier. You go into prayer and all I can think of, like when I want to look at the grandeur of my God, our Father, is ever since I was a kid, we've been able to see pictures of the, they're pretty fuzzy when we were kids, pictures of the Milky Way. And then when the Hubble got out there, it was, phenomenal how nice looking it was. And then you got Voyager 1 and 2 going out to the nether regions of the universe, getting past our solar system, and you can get a better view of the Milky Way. And then, of course, James Webb telescope going even farther to the point so far the James Webb telescope proved the Big Bang Theory was a Roman Catholic lie. We already knew it was a Roman Catholic lie because a Roman Catholic priest is the one that invented it. But ever think of that. You're sitting there and you're looking at just this one galaxy out of trillions of galaxies. And some of these galaxies are massive compared to the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is thousands of light years, millions of light years wide. And some of these galaxies are way far beyond that, with trillions upon trillions upon trillions of planets, people on all of them. And then you zoom back down to Earth, and you're sitting there on your couch praying, who am I, Father? Who am I that you would even consider hearing my prayer when there's so many other people out there that are far more worthy? Or like when you have the chance to share your faith with somebody, and you give to them what you have to give, because it's not always about money. Remember when Peter healed the cripple? Gold and silver I have none, but what I do have, I'll give. And the guy got up and walked. So it's not always about money. It is always better to give than to receive, and if we can give a blessing unto somebody. Oh, man. I mean, seriously, the prayers that we pray for each other, those are the best gifts we can give each other. Man, oh, man. When you zoom back and you see yourself and you see how small and minuscule you are, and yet the creator of all that is seen and unseen, and it goes far beyond it, our finite minds can even grasp. And he still wants to be in our lives. And he still hears our prayers. As mighty as he is, you can't even contemplate how mighty and how awe-inspiring. And I'm sure even when we get home and we're allowed to go and check out stuff and, like the long trip on our way home, because the Lord's going to let us see stuff on the way home. That's why there's silence in heaven for 7 days. It's going to take us on a tour, I guess. It's going to be pretty neat. And still, we're not going to see all of it. And yet we have all eternity to check it out. And then when you look at the nebulas, where the Lord is still creating planets, the word boring is going to be gone. If we're going to have a dictionary up there, which we won't because our minds will be working perfectly, we'll never be bored. After checking out a few trillion planets and literally investigating every nook and cranny that you can, because it's eternity, you could take your time. You still have things that you have not seen, and it'll take you trillions of years to see them. Who in the right mind would give up eternal life when not only just all that and seeing all those wonderful things that the Lord has created and to see him glorified like that, but to share with all these people on all these other worlds what we experienced down here that they didn't. We can still give even then. And that really is better than receiving, because we have something to give them, something that they've never experienced and they don't want to. Bye. by their necessities. A ruined world are drawing forth from us talents of means and of influence to present to them the truth, of which they are in perishing need. And as we heed these calls by labor and by acts of benevolence, we are assimilated to the image of Him who, for our sakes, became poor. In bestowing, we bless others, and thus accumulate true riches. And what are those true riches? Matthew 13:44. Matthew 13:44 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. That's why money becomes monopoly money. When you find Christ, what you have found. Remember how, I'm sure everyone in this church may have heard the term Jesus freak. What happens whenever someone finds Christ? They want to tell everybody they can about Him. Money no longer matters. The fear of relatives is gone. You know, when they get all up in your face calling you a freak or, you know, oh, it's just a phase he's going through. Yeah, he'll live it. He'll grow out of it. I remember them saying that 44 years ago. These true riches are amazing. And finishing up this quote here on page 383, paragraph 1. Let me get it in the room here. It says, oops, hold on. Okay. It says this. There has been a great lack of Christian benevolence in the church. See, this is one of the reasons the rain hasn't fallen yet on any church, not even ours. Because we don't know. I mean, I may have found a church, by the way, a preacher anyway, and I've been looking for decades online, and I may have found one. I'm not going to say who he is yet or even where he's from. He's not from America, I'll tell you that. And so they're out there. They're preaching what we preach. They're teaching what we teach. They believe what we believe. And they're being attacked. He's even getting slandered left and right like we are. But again, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to watch a bunch of his sermons and studies for three months. I just got to make sure. You know, and he's on YouTube too. And of course, he's being censored. He's not getting his, you know, any hits. But again, there has been a great lack of Christian benevolence in the church. Those who were the best able to do for the advancement of the cause of God have done but little. Is your heart beating your chest a little hard right now? That's guilt. It's also the Holy Spirit moving on you, letting you know what He's already told you to do. She says, God has mercifully brought a class to the knowledge of the truth, that they might appreciate its priceless value in comparison with earthly treasures. And again, it's not about money. If your heart's banging in your chest, you need to share your faith with somebody the Lord's telling you to share it with. Yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking the first time you try it. But then all of a sudden it becomes extremely natural, for lack of a better term. I couldn't believe it the first time I did it. It was just like, whoa, why didn't I do this before? It became so easy. And boy, does he give you utterance. I mean, he'll give you words that you didn't even know you knew. Why? Well, it's John 14:26. And the more you share, the more information he gives you, because he knows he can trust you to share again. Jesus has said to these, follow me. And then she says, he is testing them with an invitation to the supper, which he has prepared. You know, that big old feast on day one when we get home, where we're going to, you know, people are going to be sitting at the table, and you could see them miles down the way, you can see people and see them clearly, even though they're miles away. Why? Because we're in glorified bodies now. The human eyeball can see pretty far, but it can't zoom in like an eagle can until we get home. How that's going to look, it's probably not going to look any different from what our eyeballs look like now, but it'll work differently, obviously. And we ain't going to be needing no bifocals. Praise God, I'm sick of wearing these things. She says, Jesus has said to these, follow me, he is testing them, with an invitation to the supper which he has prepared. He is watching to see what characters they will develop, whether their own selfish interests will be considered of greater value than eternal riches. Because a lot of that right there is financial. A lot of people out there are holding heavy. They got all sorts of green stuff in their wallets, but they don't want to let it go. Because like Ananias and Sapphira, it's a little different with the mindset today. Though with Ananias and Sapphira, it was more or less like, you know, what if this Christianity thing really ain't what it appears to be? They were the ultimate cathedral goers. What I mean is, they had money. They sold everything they had, and then they gave a certain portion to the church and kept back some just in case this Christianity didn't work out. But we're going to give enough to where everybody will go, whoa, thank you so much. Slap on the back, slap on the back, slap on the back. That's what they were doing it for. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Instead of look at Christ. Here, take it. Christ knows what I've given. Christ knows what he's given me. And so I give it. And so Christ knows I ain't got two nickels rubbed together now and I got to eat. He's going to make sure you get your food. And so today, they're going to be more or less like the Ananias and Sapphira's of today would be like, I'm going to give this. But what if Christ really isn't coming back soon? I'm going to hold back a bunch of money here just in case. Or, well, yeah, you can't really hold back blessings and faith if you're out there sharing your faith. You can do it, even if you're not walking as you should, and you'll just end up being one of those clanging cymbals. But she goes on and finishes by saying here that many of these dear brethren are now, by their actions, framing the excuses mentioned in the following parable. And let's read that, brothers and sisters. It's in Luke 14, verses 16 to 21, because she then quotes it. So I'm going to read it. And again, before reading it, she says, many of these dear brethren are now by their actions framing the excuses mentioned in the following parable. And this is especially true today, because that eastern sky is about to split. But we also know, within a year before there, because the Bible does say that the plagues fall within a day, and we know a day gives a year, and so within a year beforehand, plague one is going to hit. It says, and this is Jesus, of course, sharing the parable. He says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, you know, invited many, and sent his servant at supper time, to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. My brothers, my sisters, you are that servant. Go out there and bade them to come. That's what we've been doing. We've been declaring the first, second, and third angel's message ever since the SDR movement started. We're telling them left and right. Supper's coming. You know, the amazing one where you can see for miles. Verse 18, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. In other words, I'm busy with all my bells and whistles and my toys and all my career choices and all these things I'm building for my own personal life. I'm way, way, way too busy to open the Bible every morning. Come on. It's all I can do to get to sleep at night. Because this career that I built, I'm a self-made man. And so I can't do this. If I go into the Bible, I'm not going to be able to put food on the table for my wife and children. Satan's got them hornswoggled big time. The next one. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. So he bought a bunch of toys. Now he's got to go make sure that they're good. He wants to go check them out because he just bought them. How about it? Everybody, even today, we don't go out there and get all excited about oxen. But back then they would have, because that was the tech of the day. You can't till a field without those big animals. That's always going to go out there and check them out. Look what I just bought today. Wow, look at this new car I just got, or this new cell phone. Whatever. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I joined a church that I shouldn't have joined. So I'll come, you know, I'm going to stick with this one. At least that's the way I see it, because I know a woman in prophecy meets a church. And then, verse 21. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Because they're the ones that are going to pick it up. Remember what Jesus said in Revelation? You know, I'd rather you be cold or hot, or they're going to, otherwise I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. The poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind are cold. They ain't heard what we got to say. They're cold. And they might embrace it in ways that would shock you. And so tell them. I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.